Amen, amen. Hey, church, as you take a seat, say hi to 3 to 5 people. Go ahead and be seated, but say hi to 3 to 5 people right now, say hello, say hello. Say hello. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Amen. Say hello to 2 more people, 2 more people. If you've never seen them, give them a hug. Say hello. There you go. Thank you, John. Look at that Christian. John moved around to say hello. Come on, get up. Say hi to more people, more people. And as you make your way to your seats, go ahead and bring out your Bibles. Go ahead and bring out your Bibles as you make your way back to your seats. If you do not have a Bible, we have one underneath the seat for you. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. We have one underneath the seat for you. If you do not have a Bible, there's no Bible underneath your seat, ask the ushers, they'll take care of you. Or if you want to read it on your device or the screen, you're more than welcome to. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just going to read a couple verses today. Verses 14 through 17. Give you a little bit of time to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's Acts, and then there's Romans, and then there's 1 Corinthians, and then you got 2 Corinthians, all right? Get the Galatians, you went a little too far. There you go, right to 2 Corinthians. I see some of you turning there. Let's go ahead and read God's word. It says this, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Or another translation says, compels us. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one, meaning Jesus, had died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, listen to this, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him whom for their sake died and raised. Verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Verse 17, our goal text for today. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Let me read verse 17 again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Let me say one more prayer. Dear Father, bless us today. Open our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things of your word. I pray that your promises and your truth is revealed to us one more time. And I pray that as your promises are revealed, we can not just hear the word, but we can be doers of the word. Help us, I pray. It's in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, give it up for the worship team one more time. Give it up for the worship team. One more time. Well, good morning, guys. Welcome. So glad to be back with you. I wasn't here last week. Took some much-needed time off. It's been a while since I've been able just to be with the family and take a breath. Hey, can we get up for Logan for preaching last week, doing his thing? My man doing his thing. Bro, Zinger, I'm like, hey, man, calm it down. Like, I don't want them to not like me anymore. You know, relax over there. But, man, thankful for all of the good work that he's doing and the good work God is doing through him in our church. Today, we're starting a brand new sermon series. We're actually going to be in this series for the next several weeks called New. The idea of new is this idea that God is the God who makes all things new, right? The things that we see and the things that we cannot see. So we're going to be focusing on a different passages that talks about the God's newness and how God works in our lives in this world more and more. But as you guys can see, summertime is upon us. Amen. Thank the good Lord. I was done with that. You know, Ohio's that silly weather, 70 degrees one day, then it's 31 degrees the next day. You got flip-flops on one day, the next you know, you got a bubble jacket on the next day. It's just tired of it. But now the summertime's here. We're going to have a little bit more consistency. One thing that I get excited about for the summertime is, for me as a pastor, I have a bunch of weddings every summer. And for some reason, people think it's a great idea to get married in the middle of July when it's hot, and they want to get married outside. I'm like, listen, me and outside and hot, we just don't go well together, all right? I already sweat enough when I'm preaching inside. How much you think I'm going to sweat when I preach? Anyway, so, but wedding season's upon us. And, you know, when it comes to wedding season, I always enjoy them because I love not just the ceremony, but I love going to the receptions. Now, I don't go to too many receptions, but when I do, I always find myself encountering something very fun and interesting and hilarious. The last one that I attended, which was last year, you know, the song came on every reception. You got to have the Cupid Shuffle. Everybody knows about the Cupid Shuffle. New Cupid, new Cupid. You know, that song came on. And you know, I don't dance, even though I'm a great dancer, by the way. But I don't dance, but when that song comes on, you see me moving my shoulder. Do your thing, do your thing. Well, in the middle of the song, as you guys know and are laughing because you're very familiar with the song, it gets to that part where it says, to the left, you know. And we all know what that means. They're meant to go to the left. Well, I think the party was a little bit encouraged. And instead of going to the left, they were going to the right. And I remember sitting there like, they are offbeat. Like, this is, and you ever watch somebody out of rhythm and how awkward it is? Right? You ever looked at somebody and be like, this is cringeworthy. I can walk away right now and be okay. I will scratch out my eyeballs before I see this. Right? And then the song would go, well, to the right. And then they're going to the left. It's like, no, guys, like, are your ears clogged? Like, are we not getting this? Like, you're out of rhythm, right? Right? Because it's awkward when you're off beat, right? But when I think about this concept of being out of rhythm, the one thing I think about is not just the song and out of reception and how they're all going to the left, even though they're supposed to go to the right. When I think about out of rhythm, I often think about my own soul. I often think about myself, how lately I've been off beat. That lately I've been at this pace that is unsustainable. That I've been at this pace that is unhealthy. So as you guys know, I went on vacation and I said to myself, and I'm willing to admit, things aren't on beat. I need to get back in step so I can be able to have the proper right results that I would like to have. And like all of us, when we notice we're off beat, when we notice we're out of rhythm, when we notice things are not in tune the way they need to, the first thing we think about is what new practices do I need to put into my life, right? What new habits do I need to have? What new things do I need to do? And we listen to podcasts and we listen to sermons and we talk to people, and those things are great and those things are fine. And I thought that that's what I needed to do in my time away. I went to the Rocky Rivers Reservations, which is like the most beautiful thing in the world. I'm walking around Rocky River Reservation. I'm pretty sure I got lost. Thank God for my GPS. But I'm walking around. I'm like, ah, you know, what do I need to do? But what I realized in that moment, and what I realized more and more in my life, what I need more is not new practices or new habits, but what I really need, more importantly, what the Lord wants to breathe into our souls is reminding us of who we truly are. That reminding us of a sense of identity. Because there's one thing that I want you to know, and there's one thing that I need you to understand. Jesus came to give you a new identity. Right? He came to give you an identity. And when we think about this idea of identity, we often think about the things that we do is make us who we are. Right? Or where I work, who I'm married to, what my family background is, what I've gone through. And identity is a big deal because your identity produces your activity. Whatever you believe about self typically pours out of self, right? Whatever you soak in to believe to be true about you typically forms what you do, right? Whatever you believe, and what I need more and more out of the chaos and the busyness and the stresses of life, and how I'm bombarded with so many things, how all of us are bombarded with so many things. We don't need new practice. We need Christ to breathe into us the new identity that he has given us. Because what I love about Christianity teaches us to filter all of who we are based off whose we are. Right. Christianity teaches you and I that our everyday breath, that our everyday life, it is dependent upon the work, upon the goodness of Jesus Christ. And as soon as we disconnect from that very truth, we're out of rhythm. We're out of rhythm. And we look like the people at the Reading reception. When we're supposed to go right, we're going left. And when we're supposed to go left, we're going right. And so what I believe, what we need more and more, and what truly satisfies and truly gives joy and truly gives peace is when we attach ourselves to the identity. Because here's the thing about Jesus. He does not come to make you a nice person. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make you new. Because what we need more and more is not just, again, new practices, but what we need more is a new heart. And that's what the cross means. The cross is the invitation to come and be new. To come and be new. It is the invitation to die, but to rise and to be new in him. Because what we need, more importantly, is an extreme makeover. You ever watch Chip and Joanna? You ever watch those shows? You know, on HGTV, those shows. And my wife and I, we used to love watching those. Right? And we were house hunting. We would just be watching those shows because we wanted an idea of what kind of house we would like. And that was when I started falling in love with islands. You know, the islands in the house. Like, there's one place you would catch me, and it's not the bathroom. It's not the bedroom. Heck, it's not even out. It is the island. I love the island, right? We finally have one. We moved into our new house, right? Right. But what makes that show fascinating is we see one product turn into a whole new product. Because the goal of the show isn't to make improvements, but to make it new. Right? You don't buy property and spend the money just to, you know, we're just going to put in a little bit of new flooring. No, the whole thing needs to be new. And the same thing goes for us. We don't just need Christ to make improvements. We need him to make us new. Right? We don't just need updates. We need to be upgraded. That's what we desperately need. And 2 Corinthians is going to lead us to see what it looks like to live from this identity that Christ has given us. God is the only one who has authority to tell us who we are in him. So let's go ahead and look it up and open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, break this down, and then we can walk out and have some cake after. We have cake for you guys after service. We want to say thank you for the Prime the Pump offering. We have been so blessed by your generosity, and this is our way of saying thank you. But before we do that, let's go ahead and continue to read God's word. Let's go back to verse 14. Paul is going to help us to understand how we achieve this new identity. Verse 14, I'm sorry, go to verse 17. Verse 17, he says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, stop there. Let's stop right there. The language in Christ in your New Testament shows up over 100 times. Like a lot, mainly by the Apostle Paul. And it's this language that Paul wants to use that when you believe and you come and you have faith in Jesus, you become in Christ. It's this idea of being unified with him. I heard this analogy this past week, and you ever try to take a shipping label off a box, and you know how hard it is? Well, what happens is the label becomes one with the box. Right? And you try to remove it, get the scissors out, you know, using your teeth and your nails, right? It's hard to remove. It's this idea of being synced with one another. With the same thing, in some ways, is what it looks like to trust in Jesus. When you believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, you become unified with him, and therefore you become one with him. You are accepted, you are redeemed. and you stand before the Father, not for what you've done, but because of who Christ is for you. He stood in the place, and now God sees you as holy, as blameless, as loved, not because you're so lovable, but because God is so loving, right? This is what it means to be in Christ, right? And here's what I love about this analogy or this language that is used in the scriptures. It means no longer condemned. How beautiful is that? Who in this room today has some things that are condemn worthy in your life? Everybody and their mama should be raising their hand. Online team, help me out. They're being quiet. You know, they're all a bunch of saved saints in here. You know, they never done a wrong. Give me a like button. Hit the like button. No, Logan, I'm telling them right now. Hit the like button. Anybody got anything that's condemn worthy in their lives? I mean, we all got it. I'm not going to give you a story right now because I want to keep my job and I don't want to get fired next week. It'd be, Logan, you're back up. No. You know? But I love that before God, he says, innocent. Innocent, faultless. Not because I did a really good job showing it, because Christ did a really good job dying and rising for me. Friends, I want you to know, and some of us need to hear today, that there's a lot of shame and guilt that you carry in your life. But the Father sees you as guiltless. The Father looks at you and says, loved. This is what it means to be in Christ. This is why the gospel is the gospel. This is why we preach so heavy. And this is why we do the things that we do, because it truly is a life where you stand before God, no longer condemned before him. Amen. This is what it means to be in Christ, when one comes to believe. So Paul says that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone who believes and who've accepted the work, the finished work of Jesus, anyone who believes that they are now in Christ. Now, what does it mean to be in Christ? What happens when we come to Christ? Well, then he says it in part B of verse 17. Look what he says, verse 17. He is a new creation. Now, I want to teach you something. This is really cool. I've been reading the Bible for years, for like a long time. I still have a lot of growing to do. We all do, no matter who you are, where you are. But I never caught this word creation. Now, this word creation in the Greek, it's actually, when it's used in the other times and the occurrences in the New Testament, it's always being used, watch this, it's always used when it comes to talking about God creating the world. Now, interesting enough, Paul says when you come to Christ, you become a new creation. There's a time that you are born, and then there's a time that you are born again, right? A natural birth, and then a spiritual birth, right? Right? There's a time that you're born, and then you're born again. And Paul says that you become a new creation. Remember in Genesis 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and without void, and the darkness hovered over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the waters. And what does it say? God said, let there be, finish it, light. It was dark, but once God spoke, it became light. I love that Genesis 1 account kind of can show you that before God spoke the world into existence, it didn't have order. There was no function. But once he spoke, he put everything into order. And this is what Paul is trying to hit towards, that when you come to Christ, he brings everything into order. You are the new. As God spoke light into darkness, so he does speak light to our souls. As God formed the world for an intended purpose to function for his glory and his goodness, same thing happens to you when you come to him. And you become a new creation. I thought that was so cool. You become a new creation in Christ. Paul says this is your identity. You're a new creation. No, you're not this or you're not that. Because whatever you identify with typically controls your joy, typically controls your value, typically controls your happiness. And Paul says, this is where you need to see yourself, not by looking inwardly, but looking upwardly towards the one who has given you a new identity. That you are a new creation, that before Jesus, you were out of order. No, there was no function. There's actually a word, if you read Genesis 1, which that'll take forever and ever. There's actually a word that some scholars like to believe that there was chaos. That there was chaos going on. Now, how we interpret that, that'll take a long time to describe. But I do know that before Jesus, things were out of order. But with him, he brings it all into order. This is what Paul is trying to do. He's trying to get you and I to attach ourselves to the true identity that you are a new creation in Christ. And anything else we attach ourselves to will fail to reach and to give the joy that you and I that were created to have. Last week, something amazing happened to me. Now, I've had a lot of great things amazing happen to me. Marrying my beautiful bride, having these two knuckleheaded, snotty kids, you know, leading this church, you know, it's awesome, love it, you know, great. But you want to know what happened to me yesterday? Fathers, I'm talking to you. My wife told me, she admitted that I was right and she was wrong. It was the greatest day of my life. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was wearing a red shirt. I think I wore some Nikes that day. And we got, you know, we were going back and forth and we were arguing, you know, and I said, no, we should do it like this. And, you know, they say, happy wife, happy life, you know. Okay, babe, I guess we do it that way. And then like 10 minutes later, she says, I think you were right. I said, can you say that one more time? He said that just one more time. And I remember like telling myself, how exciting and thrilled that is. Like, I finally was right. Listen, there's a reason why I'm excited. It's been 13 years of being wrong. And listen, one out of how many hundreds of days I'm finally told that I'm right. You better believe I'm going to be excited. You better believe I'm going to be joyful. You better believe I'm going to live in this moment. But guess what? It's short-lived. Right? It's short-lived. Right? And guess what? It's probably going to be another 13 years till I'm right again. Right? But what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is this identity Christ gives, it's not just a momentary joy. That's a momentary moment to give you joy. But it is a everlasting joy that God looks at me and I'm one with him. And this is a joy that doesn't run out. It's a joy that feels, that it's a joy that succeeds in giving me the truest assurance and satisfaction, because anything outside of Jesus we identify with will fail us time and time again. But this is an identity that's meant to give true everlasting joy. Let's talk about this in four different ways, how we are meant to live out our identity before we close. Number one, When we're new creations, that means we have a new perspective, right? That means we have a new perspective. That means this, that everything we do is filtered by faith. How we see everything from our families to what we experience in our jobs, what we experience personally through life and even death, everything is by faith. Paul says it actually in this letter to the Corinthians. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. See, this new identity is meant to give you a new perspective of life. This is what this means, that your new identity gives you a new mind. It gives you a new mind. And the way that you see everything is by faith. And this is one way of how we can practice this new identity this week. Are you ready? That means this week that because our life is dominated by faith, that everything is filtered by faith, that means that we don't have to be dominated by outward circumstances. You want to know why? We don't have to be dominated by what's going on around us. Because a new creation, it is one that is truly fixed on who God is to them. Meaning this, that your joy and your peace, it isn't controlled upon how much you get your way. That your joy and your peace, it isn't controlled by how much others listen to you. But rather, your joy and your peace is Jesus. That's the new perspective. It is Christ. He is the joy. He is the peace. He is the comfort. So no matter what happens around you, by faith, it's all about who Christ is to you. And Christ is the supply and the source for your existence and your happiness. Meaning this, the new perspective is this. Psalm 23, verse 1, Christ is all that I need. No matter how much I lose in this world, no matter how much is taken from me, Christ is all I need. Because he is the joy and the peace that I'm looking for. This new perspective in your life. Number two, and now you have a new purpose. A new purpose. And the purpose is this, friends. And Paul actually talks about this in his earlier verses. He said, verse 14, he says, for the love of Christ compels us, it controls us. And then he goes on later on in verses 18, 19, and 20. He talks about how that we have a ministry of reconciliation, that this is why we do what we do. Paul says, not only in Christ do I have a new perspective, but I also have a new purpose. That means that everything about me is meant to exalt Jesus. That everything about me is meant to make more and much of Jesus. That all my life is dominated not by making much of self, not by getting my way, but by allowing Jesus to shine more and more in my life. And I've noticed this, friends. I've noticed this, that my life is very different when I make it about Jesus versus when I make it about myself. I've noticed that my relationships are very different when it's about exalting Jesus rather than exalting my opinion. I've noticed my leadership and the way that I connect with people, that it's much different than when I put Jesus on the throne rather than my preference, right? And this is the new purpose, and this is not a new purpose out of just duty and burden and command, but this is out of true love for Jesus. I have a new purpose, and what's that purpose? To make much about Jesus. That when people see me, they'll see Christ in me. Not a perfect man, but a man that says, this is why I trust him. Not a man that always gets it right, but a man that's willing to say, this is why I go to him and everything. You have a new purpose. Number three, you have, catch this, you have a new power. You have a new perspective, a new purpose, and now you have a new power. Back in 2018, when I was the youth pastor over at the Columbia Station campus, we had the privilege to attend the Faith Family Night for the Cavs game. So what that was, they invited a church, and they got to meet the Cavalier players. Now, this was back in 2018 when a certain player was still playing for the Cavaliers, right? We all know who that is. He went on, left us for L.A. They lost the other day, and I told him, don't come back. But anyway, We got to meet the Cavs. So what does that mean? I got to stand next to LeBron. I don't know if you guys know, LeBron and I are pretty tight. You know, we're pretty close. After that day, our friendship blossomed. It was really great, you know. I really feel like he got his life together after he met me. But LeBron and I, you know, I'm standing right next to him. I'm watching him sweat, you know, watching him in his warm-up. And then Kevin Love comes up. I'm like, this guy's a monster. I said, this guy looks like, what I look like standing next to them is what my son looks like standing next to me. Like, it's just, it's bad, right? I'm near these guys, right? Because with the Faith Family Night, you were given VIP access to meet the Cavaliers. So all the students and myself were all just looking up and, how you doing, Mr. James? You know, it was one of the coolest moments ever. And in the same way, what I love about Jesus, that he did not just come to give you a new identity. He did not just come to forgive your sins. He did not come just to redeem you, but he also came to bring you near the Father, to bring you to God, so that as you have nearness to God, you then have access to the things of God. Jesus came truly to say, listen, he said it in John 14. We all know this verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the who? Father, except through who? Me. So Jesus says, not only am I the one who redeems you, but I'm the one who brings you near the Father. And as you come close to him, you are not just near him, but you have access to the things of him, which means this. You have access when you're struggling, because we all struggle, right? Inwardly, mentally, physically, relationally, financially, name it. It's every part of our lives. God is my help. And I can go to him. I don't look to me, because little me, I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the power. I don't have any of that. But now I can go to God, who generously loves to give me what I need, so I can live the life he has called me to live. And it's the same thing for you, that when you are weak, because there are moments of weaknesses that we have, that Christ becomes our strength, right? That the things that are trying to dominate my everyday life, things like fear and doubt and insecurity and loneliness and sin and depression, that Jesus is the one that I can draw near to. And he, when I draw near to him, guess what? He's ready to receive me. He wants to receive me. He says, come. And he sympathizes with me. And he deals gently with me. He says, come. Enter my presence, and here you will find your rest for the weary soul that you have. Anybody have a weary soul today? Anybody just have a tired soul today? A tired mind? Listen, you are not meant to sit in the weary. Because of Jesus Christ, you can now go to the one who solves the weariness of your life. And that's because of Christ. You have a new power. It's not you who is all wise. You're not wise. And it's not you who has all knowledge. It's not you. But you have access to the one who is truly wise. And when you need help, the Bible says, you can approach the throne of grace. And he'll be there to receive you in a time that you need help. This is the new power that you have. And last but not least, as we close, number four. I'm closing before 10:30. I feel good about myself. I learned a lot on vacation, by the way. One of those was, you preach way too long. Number four, who said amen? I know somebody said amen. Somebody said, I don't know who it was. Number four, there's new pursuits, new perspective, new purpose, new power. Number four, new pursuits. That means this: my hunger and my desire is to become more like Christ. My pursuit in my life is to become more and more like Christ. It's to become more and more like my rabbi and my teacher. To be someone who is pursuing him, taking pleasure in him, preserving in prayer, believing, and I'm humble and I'm temperate. I want something to be different about me every day. And that's drawing near and closer to Jesus. And this is also another way how this new creation shapes us. New creation helps us to form better relationships. Because the way Christ has treated me, because the way Christ has been good to me, I want to do the same thing to other people. Let me ask you a question. When in your relationships, is your aim Is your aim more to appease Christ because of who he is and what he's done? Is our aim more to say, I want to treat others better? I want to treat others better in my life. I want to be gracious. I want to be kind. I want to be humble. I want to do this, not because if I do this, God will be nice to me. He'll give me whatever I want, but truly because he's just that good. Does that happen more and more in our lives? Paul says, the old has passed away. I need you to understand this today, friends, as we close, that as a new creation, you have given new life, and the old has passed away, meaning this, you are no longer captive to your desires and your feelings, meaning you are no longer your pain, meaning you are no longer your circumstances, meaning you are no longer your past, meaning you are no longer your disappointments, meaning you are no longer your bad thoughts. Meaning you are no longer the addiction. Meaning you are no longer the divorce. The old is gone and the new is here. In Christ Jesus, all of what destroys us is behind us. But not just behind us, but it's on a perfect Savior. In Jesus Christ. This week, do a better job, not just doing, but reminding, I'm a new creation. The old is gone. I'm a new creation. The past is the past. I'm a new creation. What was isn't what is. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, I am thankful for the reminder that in Christ I am a new creation, that the old has passed away and behold, the new is here. And Father, today I pray that our lives can be dominated by the reality of who we are in Christ, not who we are to others, not who we are even to ourselves, but who we are in Christ. And I pray that the flow of our lives would be dominated with a new perspective, would be dominated with a new purpose, would be dominated with a new perspective, dominated with a new power, and that you yourself would move us towards all that is rich and good for you. Lord, you're the ones who makes us new. Now, Lord, I want to experience and I want to know what this new life means and entails. So my pursuit is not the old. It's not the shame. It's not my guilt. But my pursuit truly is the new that you have won for me. So, Lord, help us today. Help us to be consumed with this very reality more and more. So in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.